This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3573, for Wednesday, the 13th of April, 2022. Today's show is entitled Home Coffee Roasting Part 2. It is part of the series Coffee. It is hosted by Dint and is about 21 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is How I've Roasted and Brewed Coffee.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is DNT. Again, I've recorded this using SoloCast and it's been working out really well now that I'm into the edit. So thanks Todd Norris for providing that. And I recommend other hosts and prospective hosts give it a try because it does make this process quite a lot easier, especially to record something where you want to actually cover certain things. So this is going to be part two of my two-part episode about home coffee roasting. The first episode came out about 2 weeks ago. If this sounds interesting, you may want to go back and listen to that one if you missed it. So thank you for joining us today, and here we go with the recording. So now how I roast and how I have roasted coffee. So I started out with the classic popcorn popper. It's one of those countertop things that is like an air roasting thing that's designed for popcorn. There are certain designs of that kind of machine that works very well for coffee roasting. So it and it's kind of good. It blows the chaff away in a neat way, so you can have your bowl to catch all the chaff that's flying out of the thing. Through the chute that kind of directs it down, you know, and of course there's no smoke suppression, so you really have to do it under an oven, a stove hood or something like that. So, but then it's okay. I used to do this in a one bedroom apartment with just under the hood, and it's just absolutely fine. It doesn't even set off the fire alarms in the apartment. But it does make a lot of smoke, so just be aware of that. So yeah, that's a great way to start roasting. It's you know, you pay almost nothing. So if it doesn't work out for you, if you don't like it, you know, you didn't lose a bunch of money on it. But the thing is, you can only roast a really small amount. Also, it's supposed to roast very, very fast. So because there's no temperature control at all, so it's harder to all this is very subjective, but one of the things that many people think is that it's if you roast coffee slower, you develop certain more desirable flavors in it. So that's something people say about the popcorn popper. But you will get great coffee out of it. It's wonderful that there is this option for people who are interested in starting out. I don't think I would have started roasting coffee if I didn't have this option to try it out. The next, I bought this thing that's called Stove Pop. It's like a pot, one of those pots that have a crank on top that you can make popcorn with. It's designed for popcorn, but again, it works very well for coffee as well. So that one is cool because you can roast a lot more coffee. You can roast even up to 1 pound of coffee. And yeah, I recommend trying. It's kind of crazy. You have to crank really fast. And it makes a ton of smoke because you're roasting a lot of coffee with no smoke suppression. But I think for learning about roasting coffee, I think it's really nice to have it and try it out. So yeah, I had that for a while. That was my roasting machine. And then after that, I decided to buy an actual a machine that was designed for roasting coffee. And that one was what's called the Fresh Roast SR700. So it's almost like taking the popcorn popper and just redesigning it specifically for coffee. It's the same kind of idea. It's an air roaster. And what was really cool about the Fresh Roast SR700 is it had some kind of Arduino thing in it, and it had a USB port, and then you could connect it to your computer, And then the company that made it, they have their own software that's not very good. I never even tried it because it doesn't run on Linux. There is actually something called Open Roast. That it's so there are two things. There's Open Roast, which is like a graphical user interface application in Python, and there's something called it's a Python library called Fresh Roast SR700. Those together allow you to control your roaster from the computer. So then, yeah, there are lots of other kind of higher end roasters that are controllable from the computer. You can, you know, you can map out the roast temperatures the whole way. So this thing allows you to do that with the Fresh Roast SR700. It'll basically it'll alternate between there are three heat levels in the Open Roast: low, medium, and high. So it'll rotate from high to low, or from high to, yeah, I think it's from, by default it's supposed to be from high to low. It'll rotate between those really fast to regulate the temperature based on the thermometer that's in it. So you can create your roast profile, you know, how your temperature rises over time in the roast. In this case, that those are the two variables that you have. And then you just basically hit run, and it does it for you. And then all you have to do is be there to remove your coffee and move it to something to cool as soon as it's ready. My unit of the Fresh Roast SR700 actually had an issue where this application wasn't working, because whatever signature it used to identify the low level when it was switching between high and low to regulate the temperature, the low level didn't work on my unit. And then I found on GitHub, there's a bunch of other people had this same problem. Apparently some SR700 units have this issue. And then somebody on GitHub actually wrote a change to the Fresh Roast SR700 library, so that instead of rotating from high to low, it'll rotate from high to cool, which is off, basically. So then it made it work. And then I could use Open Roast on Linux with my SR700. So yeah, I used that one for a long time, but I have since moved to another one that allows me to roast more coffee all at once. Now, since I mentioned cooling, like you have to be there to remove the coffee and dump it into something to cool. So yeah, ideally the best way to do that is having like a colander. I think that's the right word. Yeah, the thing you know, for straining your pasta or whatever, and then just put it on top of a fan. I have this fan that you can rotate it, you can tilt it so that it's pointing straight up, and then I can just set the colander right on top of it, dump the coffee on it, and then in like 2 minutes it's cool to the touch. And that's another thing, a lot of people say it's important to cool your coffee quickly, because otherwise it keeps cooking, right? So that's that. And then the Fresh Roast SR700, for example, when you hit the cooling cycle, it'll just turn off the heating element and it'll just blow air. But of course the whole thing is still very hot, so it's going to take a while to cool. I should say with the Fresh Roast SR700, there are three variables. There's the you can set the heat, the time, of course, and also the air speed, the fan speed. So that's another thing. For example, I used to use the cycle. I used to the profile I used to use. It started like the fan setting a little lower, because the coffee is all cool, and then the fan setting goes up towards the end when the coffee is getting really hot. Usually that's a common thing. Whatever way you have to move the beans, you want to increase it towards the end to kind of prolong the end of your roast. That's supposed to be a good thing to do. So then I moved to the Bemore 2000 AB Plus. That one is a great machine. It's I don't get to use the laptop to control it, but it has its own programs in it, and it has manual control, so you can just be there and kind of execute your roast manually. And yeah, I really like the Beamore because it's got like these buttons A, B, C, D, and then you just kind of had to know what the buttons do at certain times. So because the design, it's like the design, the interface, let's say, it really makes sense to someone who's using it and who knows how to use it, who maybe someone who has a little bit of experience roasting coffee. It makes a lot of sense to someone like that, but it probably doesn't make any sense to anybody else, is my point. And also another thing is Beamore sells a lot of the parts, so you can repair your machine on your own, and even they actually sell the, like if you had an older model, they came out with a newer model kind of recently that had some new features in the electronics, and you could actually buy just the electronics and replace them. You know, I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to keep a company that does that, right? Anyway, so yeah, with the Beamore, you can roast up to 1 pound at a time. I usually roast 1 pound when I'm roasting decaf. I roast half a pound. It's a drum roaster, so it's basically like an electric oven. That with a fan, and then it just has like a drum in it that spins, and your coffee sits in this drum, and so you can control the temperature, not the temperature. You can control how much power you send to the heating element, and those are 0, 25%, 50, 75, 100%. You can also, there are two speeds for the drum, so you can increase the drum speed towards the end of your roast to make your beans move more and help them withstand the temperature and extend the roast towards the end. And also the Beamore AB 2000 AB has some smoke suppression. It has this kind of thing, kind of like a catalytic converter, that it really reduces the smoke. You still get plenty of smoke. It will definitely set off your fire alarm if you don't do it like right by a window or under the hood, but it's much less than it would be otherwise, especially if you're roasting a pound, right? And now brewing. So I'll start with the grinder. I use a grinder from Baratza. The model is Encore. It's their cheapest one. Again, this is a company that sells tons of parts for their machines. They support their machines. I just ordered a couple of gaskets for my grinder. So yeah, great to see. You can basically rebuild the entire thing. Anything, you can buy the motor, you can buy every single part in it separately and rebuild your entire grinder if you have to. Great thing, and it works really well too. It roasts fine enough for espresso, so I recommend the Baratza grinder, Encore, and they have other more expensive ones too. And then for actual brewing, when I first started drinking coffee, I used a mocha pot, and I still love it. It's you know, absolute classic. Makes great coffee. One of the best home coffee making machines you can have, really. Then after a while, when I spent some time in the Dominican Republic, I took a French press with me, and that was okay. I don't love it that much. I have since got rid of it, and I don't use it anymore. Later, I used the pour over for a while, which also I don't love it. It's okay. It can make kind of good coffee, but I like the stronger stuff. Then I got this thing that's called the brewer. It's for making cold brew. It just controls the dripping so that you fill up this reservoir with water, and it just slowly drips it into the bed of grounds. And you're supposed to do this in the fridge overnight. And yeah, it's really delicious. I kind of look forward to summer for having cold brew like that again. So next, I got this Flair espresso machine. So this is it's a hand like with a lever espresso machine. So you have this brew head where you put your coffee grounds, you tamp them, then you fill it up with hot water. And then there's this contraption that you can just push the water through. And it has a little pressure gauge so you can control the pressure that you apply to it. Because you may know espresso is, you push water through coffee at pressure. And so the bed of coffee is what puts up that pressure, right? So the bed has to be in a certain way. It has to be ground to a certain degree of fineness, and it has to be tamped in a certain way. It has to be fairly level so that the water doesn't kind of find channels through it, and other things can affect it too. Like if you grind it too fine, then the bits can actually clog the basket below, and then no, you cannot get much coffee through. That can happen if you accidentally grind it too fine. Also, I think the level of moisture in the coffee can affect it too. Like sometimes I'll be grinding coffee for espresso at one level and it's working great. Then I get a new roast and I try it and then it does not work. I cannot pass any water through that. I have to change the grinder setting to grind a little more, a little coarser. So that I can make coffee. So, yes, something happened between this roast and the last one that's making this work different. So there's other factors too. But anyway, basically, yeah, the coffee affects how much pressure you can get to push the coffee through. And for espresso, you have to get it to a certain level of pressure. But if you go overboard, then you can't put enough pressure to pass the water through it. So as you can see, it's a whole thing. Anyway, so the Flair Espresso machine, I have the one that's called, I think it's called Pro, Signature Pro, something like that, is the one that has the pressure gauge. And the machine is really irritating. It's like not really well designed. It can kind of slip on on your countertop. The lever is like shaped so that it's like, I think it has to be shaped that way for balance, but at the same time, the shape really makes it hard for you to get a decent grip on it. And so yeah, it's kind of a pain in many ways, but the coffee you get is absolutely, it's excellent. So for that, it's worth it. It's a pain, but I mean, at this point, you understand that my tolerance for having to do stuff for my coffee is quite high. So there we go. And then since this, I have also bought an AeroPress. Many of you, I'm sure, know the AeroPress. It's a great little thing. It's a similar principle to the espresso machine or the moka pot, where it tries to push water through the coffee at pressure, which is supposed to extract more from the coffee and make a stronger cup of coffee. Now, the AeroPress is really nice because it's so small, it's really light. Like I have brewed coffee for myself in the car on a road trip. Just stop at a QT, get some hot water, grind your coffee with your little hand cranked grinder, and put it in your AeroPress, and you've got coffee. You've got good coffee on the road. For that alone, to me, it's worth it. But I am using it a lot these days too. I usually have one. My first coffee in the morning is usually out of the Flair espresso. And then the rest of the day, I have usually two more from the AeroPress. So that's that. That was my two-part episode about home coffee roasting, talking about brewing as well. Now, I just want to say that, drinking coffee, like a lot of people like coffee. We have drunk coffee for a very long time. And coffee is a great thing. So you can drink, I guess my point is you can drink coffee however you like. There is no better or worse coffee. This is how I like my coffee, and I've made it a kind of a thing for me. But, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with just buying your Folgers at the store or whatever other kind of industrialized coffee is available in your area. I've done that myself many times. I have my favorite industrialized coffee from Brazil that I used to drink back there. And I still think it's good. I would buy it and I would drink it. It was good, you know. I would boil the water with a little bit of cinnamon, with a cinnamon stick in it. And then it would kind of taste a little bit like cinnamon. I remember in the Dominican Republic when I was there, a lot of people would put nutmeg in their coffee as well, and a drop of vanilla extract. You know, all wonderful ways to consume this wonderful thing that nature has given us. So enjoy your coffee the way you do. You know, it's a gift that we have. And, you know, if you found all this stuff that I've talked about interesting, then by all means pursue it. It's been fun for me. But if not, keep your coffee because it is perfect just the same. Thank you for listening. And tune in tomorrow again for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.